Scripture text this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter. I invite you to turn in your Bible or the Pew Bible and read along with me. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. And now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd heard about Jesus and came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Let us pray. Gracious God, may all that we do this morning and all that we say bring honor and glory to you as we spread your message of love and compassion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Research shows us that the average American worker has 50 interruptions per day, and 70% of them have nothing to do with work. William Arthur Ward said, "Interruptions can be viewed as sources of irritation or opportunities for service, as moments lost or experience gained, as time wasted or horizons widened. They can annoy us or enrich us, get under our skin or give us a shot in the arm, monopolize our minutes or spice our schedules, depending on our attitude toward them. We all have those days that have too much to do and not enough time. I don't know about you, but I get frustrated at the rushed feeling when everything seems to take longer than it should and everyone seems to be moving slower than normal. It's kind of that old watched pot never boils syndrome. It's the same way when I'm in a hurry to do something, to be somewhere, to meet someone. That seems to always be the time for the opportunity for that phone call or the flat tire or some kind of interruption that stops one from going where they need to go, to be somewhere else. I've learned over the years that while annoying, at least when it's the telemarketer calling, that those moments of interruption are many times a moment of great opportunity for ministry. That is where we find Jesus in the text today. Sickness is the great interrupter of life. It enters without knocking, thwarting all plans, mocking the idea of certainty, and diminishing hope for the future. It intrudes like a burglar in our home, touching every part of life. Such an interruption occurred to the woman in our text today. Jesus had one of those interruption moments, as recorded in Mark. He's on his way with Jairus to see his daughter. Jairus' daughter needs healing. She's dying. They were in a hurry. Time was short. And to make matters worse, there was a great crowd that slowed them down. The streets were narrow, and the crowd was tightly bunched in around them. He was a celebrity. He was coming to town. Everyone had their camera. Everyone wanted an autograph. Jesus was the Messiah that they'd heard about, and everyone wanted to be around Jesus. And Jairus is tugging and talking and crying all at the same time. And the crowd is so tightly packed in the narrow alleyway that one could hardly breathe, much less move. And the disciples are trying to do crowd control and keep Jesus moving, but they're swept along with the flow. Have you ever entered a large stadium, football game, something going on, huge crowd, kind of like the Super Bowl's going to be this afternoon? And you know what it's like to be jostled in the crowd? Sometimes the slowly moving mass of people, they're so jammed together that you feel like you're cattle in a herd and you're being moved along. Jesus is more than likely getting bumped and pushed as the crowd moves with him. And no one sees this wretched woman. No one sees this once lovely face that's lined with suffering and pain. No one sees her. No one reaches out their hand to her. No one speaks to her, and she speaks to no one. This woman who had a great and prolonged problem. According to verse 25, she had a flow of blood for 12 years. It was either a slow hemorrhage or that one that was almost constant, or it occurred periodically during the 12 years she suffered. Either way, it made it impossible for her to feel strong and healthy. And at this particular moment in her life, she's again suffering as the result of the blood loss. And added to her physical problem was the fact that she was looked down upon by society. Her condition was such that it made her ceremonially unclean, and no one wanted to touch her or be around her. She also had what was called an affliction. That literally refers to a whip or scourge. The Jews commonly referred to sickness as a chastisement from God. You know, you can hardly imagine the guilt and the shame and the pressure that all of this laid on her. It sapped her strength day after day. What a burden this lady carried. We read that no one could help her, that she had been to one doctor after another. She was no better. Actually, she was the worse for it. And she had spent all that she had. She was bankrupt. She was bankrupt financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Every new day was another hopeless dawn. Every sunset was stained with the blood of her pain. And now, this woman heard of the great teacher, the great physician, of his wonderful works. She'd heard the lepers talk. She'd heard about the crippled who threw their crutches down and their canes and walked again. She'd heard of the blind who were able to see. She'd seen their eyes flash or fill with tears as they spoke his name. She'd heard what he'd done for others. It was daring, fantastic perhaps. Her heart thumped at the mere thought of it, but it was worth trying. It could only fail, and she was no stranger to failure. There came to her this assurance that if she could but touch him, if she could but touch the hem of his robe, she would be healed. Yes, touch him. There'd be no harm in that. He wouldn't even know. He wouldn't mind. After all, he's so gentle and full of sympathy and love. Now's her chance. Touch him. Touch him on the head? No, that would be irreverent. Touch him on the hand? Well, no, that'd be too familiar. But there can be no harm in touching his robe. And she pushes, and she shoves, and she works her way through the crowd. She's desperate. She knows that this is her last chance for healing. She cannot miss this opportunity. He's so near, yet he's so far away. Her heart beats ever the faster. Her hands are moist from her nerves. Just a little closer. He's drawing closer. He's so close she can hear him talk. And she stretches and she strains and she pushes. And at just the right moment, the tip of her finger, her trembling finger, touches his robe. She touched him. The touch of a mighty faith. And like an electric shock, there surged back into her body life again. The blood flowed through the shrunken veins, the panting lungs, the withered muscles. The glow of health and vitality filled this woman. And once again, a body had been redeemed and given life. And she retreated back into the crowd. Now, she didn't go. She wasn't ungrateful. Not at all. But fearful lest she call attention to herself and respectful of the great work that Jesus had to do. She mustn't bother him. And with a smile on her face, it's the first time this woman had smiled, had even felt like smiling in 12 years. She turns to go home. Unnoticed. Unnoticed, she thought. No one had seen her. No one had paid any attention to her. No one but Jesus Christ. But just at that moment, Jesus stops and he turns and he surveys the crowd and he says, "Who touched me?" Now it seemed to Peter and the other disciples like, "Man, you got to be out of your mind. What an absurd question. You've got hundreds of people pushing and shoving and milling around and you want to know who touched you." Everybody was touching him. Jairus probably thought, "Why are you stopping Jesus? My daughter's dying. My baby is dying. We got to hurry, man. Don't stop. She's on the edge of death." You know what's amazing about Jesus, even in matters of life and death? As when Jesus heard that Lazarus was dying, the Lord never seemed to be in a hurry. Even the disciples seemed confused as to why Jesus would ask such a question. There were so many people around. It could have been anyone. Besides, what difference does it make? A touch is a touch. But that's not true. In the Gospels, there are three kinds of touches. First, there's the touch of hostility. That's the touch of religious leaders when they beat Christ at his trial. Second, there's the touch of curiosity. That's the touch of the crowd milling around. And third, there's the touch of faith. And that's the touch of this poor woman. If the disciples couldn't tell the difference, it didn't matter. Jesus could tell. He knew that someone had touched him in faith. He felt the energy. He felt the faith in the passing brush of her sickly finger on his robe. As he walked down the crowded street, hundreds of hands reached out to him. Yet he felt this sickly hand of faith. He felt it. He felt her touch. He stopped. He turned. He spoke to her. He was not offended or angry. He wasn't irritated by the interruption. He wasn't too busy or too tired to bother with her. Now just think about it for a moment. He whom all the forces of hell could not stop was diverted by the touch of a sickly hand. This woman did by her touch what Satan himself could not do. She stopped Jesus in his tracks. There's a wonderful picture here in that this woman with a touch of faith draws power from Jesus, whereas all the rest of the crowd pressing around him on every side, touching him many times in the course of the journey, were not receiving anything from him. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." It's the only time recorded in Scripture that he ever used the term daughter. Jesus was very tender with this woman, despite her shame and embarrassment. She blurted out the whole truth in front of the crowd. I think that's the ground upon which Jesus continued this healing. He made it permanent. She told him the truth. When he looked around for someone, she fell down before him and told him what her problem was, how long she'd had it, how unclean she was, how difficult life had been, and how determined she was to reach him. She simply put the problem right back into his hands, and immediately his response was to make her condition permanently healed. That's the record. These are the facts. It's a matter of history. That is the miracle. Jesus heals a woman who had a bleeding problem. And what a miracle it was. And it's the only miracle recorded in Scripture where no word was spoken or action displayed by Jesus. So, my friends, what we have here is a miracle of faith. But there's also a lesson for us to take home, if you will. It's a lesson about dealing with the interruptions and the priorities that one makes. And I need to remember it. In the Gospel of Mark, we have many examples of Jesus being interrupted. He was interrupted by Peter when he was praying, by a leper when he was preaching, by a paralytic when he was speaking. And Jesus deals with all these interruptions with love and patience. What the people need is first and foremost in Jesus' eyes. And we don't have to say to Jesus, "Pardon the interruption." When we feel put upon, when the teacher feels distracted from the task by the students with problems, when pastors are concerned because they were distracted preparing the sermon, when parents feel upset because they were distracted by their children, Henry Nouwen says this, and I quote, "You know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." We need to remember. We need to remember that the distractions are our work. We need to remember the example of Christ and how he treated the distractions. He spoke to this woman as if she were the only person in the crowd. When he turned, it was just Jesus and her. No one else mattered. He loves you and me as if there was only one person in all the universe to love. He hears you and me as if we were the only ones speaking to him. He attends to our needs as if our needs were the only needs in the entire universe. Now that's a Christ, isn't it? He loves you and me as if we were the only people in the universe. The only one. All that touches you touches him. If it's pain, then he feels the pain. If it's sorrow, he feels the sorrow. If it's rejection, he feels the rejection. If it's loss, he feels the loss. If it's failure, he feels the failure. Whatever it is that hurts you and me, he feels it. If it touches you, it touches him. How simple it is to come to Christ. Just a touch is all it takes. if we have the strength, if we have just enough energy left to stretch out our hand to Him, His mighty power flows into our lives. Just a touch, and Jesus will enter our lives. The fact is that every time we reach out, that every time we touch Jesus and make contact, He's going to bring change into our lives. It can be physical healing. We know He can do that. But there can be even more vital changes. It could be forgiveness of sin. We all need forgiveness. It could be a change in our attitude or a change of mind. I don't know about you. As we talked in the 8:30 service, the choir backed me up. There are a lot of times during the day that I need an attitude adjustment. And I think if each one of us is honest, we'll all say, yes, we do need just a tad of an attitude adjustment. Sometimes we have that stinking thinking. But no matter what the need is, Christ is there. Now I ask you, are you ready to reach out to Him and touch Him? He's waiting for you, and He's waiting for me to touch Him. Our trembling fingers can reach Him. And all we have to do this morning is come to the table. Because you see, God doesn't mind the interruption. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.